Let's pray.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of Christmas, this season at which we get to recognize the birth of your Son, his stepping into this world to rescue us from sin and death. Lord, may this be a joy that we carry throughout the year and that we eagerly share with those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I kind of alluded to a question that I asked the kids. I kind of gave away a little bit of my sermon intro here, but when was the last time someone asked you, why do you celebrate Christmas? And not so much what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, where you're going to go, what you're going to eat, but why do you stop every year and celebrate Christmas? I can't remember the last time someone asked me that, and honestly, I don't know that I've ever been asked that. It's always just been in the environments I was in, my upbringing, in college, when I moved up here. It's always just been something we've done, right? Our culture around us just kind of, after Thanksgiving, we click into Christmas, ideas, plans, all these things. It's just a natural progression. So that question of why do you celebrate Christmas is kind of an odd one, a rare question. But I want you to consider that for this moment, for a bit this morning. And I want you to go ahead and imagine you're in the grocery store. Someone comes up to you. You're trying to figure out those 50 different kinds of spaghetti sauces. And they come up to you and they go, why do you celebrate Christmas? And they're sincere about it. How would you answer them? Now, you could probably answer them in a lot of different ways, right? Especially if you're thinking from a worldly perspective. You can answer in lots of wonderful, good things. For example, I had a friend in college. We were in the business school together at A&M, and we helped each other a lot through finance classes that were terribly difficult. And I remember one Christmas season, first, she was Hindu. We had small religious discussions, but she was Hindu. She made that clear to me. And I remember one Christmas, she said, I can't wait to go home and celebrate Christmas with my family. And I kind of went, and my brain just kind of like froze for a second because I thought, wait a minute, I know you're Hindu. You know I know you're Hindu. But did you celebrate Christmas? So we were good friends. So I just straight up asked her. I said, you're Hindu, but you celebrate Christmas? And she replied with a smile. She said, sure. She goes, I love Christmas. I love the celebrations. I love the lights. I love the music. I love getting together with family. I love trading gifts. I love just the joy of the time together. I get it. I totally understood what she said in that moment. It made perfect sense. All those things, presents, the lights, the gifts, the music, the movies, all those things are wonderful reasons to pretty much celebrate anything, right? You put all that joy together. We had this different air about, you go out in the world, there's just this different air about things. Everyone seems a little lighter, a little happier, a little more joy. But as disciples, we know that these things, these surface level things, don't get to the true core reason of why we celebrate Christmas. We know it goes much deeper, much further than that. So how would you answer that question? You know, the thing I love about God's word, the Bible, is it just cover to cover points to Jesus. And you can go all over that Bible and you can find that answer. Like just in our Titus reading today, those four short verses give us that answer. As I was looking through the readings, the scheduled readings in our lectionary for this Sunday, I thought, it's all right there. It's all right there. That answer, it's all right there in just those four little verses. But we have to dig a little bit, right? To understand that full reason of why we celebrate Christmas. So let's look at that first verse 11. If someone came up to you and said, why do you celebrate Christmas? And you just gave them that first verse, it'd be good. That first verse said, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Why do you and I celebrate Christmas? Because the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation to all people. That nails it on the head, right? That's it right there. That is the answer. That would be your why. But you'd have to explain more, right? You'd have to go further into that gospel story, because if that person is an inquiring mind, you'd hope they would ask questions like, why do all people need salvation? Saving from what? And what do you mean by the grace of God appeared in the world? It gives us, that verse 11 gives us the direct answer, but so much is left unanswered in that. It answers the question, but there's these questions hanging in the air, these details that are left out. It's like if that person were in a burning building, or you're in a burning building with that person, and they say, the place is on fire, how do I get out of here? How do I find my way out? You know, right? And you looked at them and you said, there's a gracious path out of this building for you and everyone else. And then you walked away. You wouldn't just walk away, would you? No, you would have to give them details. You'd have to go further into it. Because if the person wasn't just completely nuts, they would stop you and say, no, you got to tell me more. I need to know more. I don't want to die. You'd have to go further into the gospel. The same thing when we give people these little nuggets of the gospel, we have to go further and we have to explain the full story to them. And so if we stay in this Titus text, we look at verse 14. It said, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That goes further, right? But this might be the point where that inquiring mind kind of goes, you said lawlessness. You said the need to purify. What do you mean by that? This might be where they are tempted to kind of step back and separate themselves from what sounds like a criminal in your explanation. See, because nobody likes to hear that they're wrong. Nobody likes to hear that maybe they're not living right or doing things that are good. No one likes to hear that maybe they are the source of the problem, or at least they're contributing to the problem. But we know the gospel is not just some ordinary story. It's something entirely unique and foreign to the way that our world thinks and our world puts together logic. Yeah, God rightly calls us lawless. God justly says, you're a sinner. God justly and rightly judges every single person that's ever walked this earth. No one gets a pass on that. But the beautiful thing is that God, in his righteous judgment, he doesn't just judge us and say, fix it. He doesn't just leave us in that problem spot. No, the beautiful difference and unique alien nature of the gospel is that God provides a way out of that. God rescues us from that. That's what makes the gospel story, when you share it with someone who hasn't heard it in its fullness, that's what makes it so wonderfully bizarre and different. The gospel is the story of Christ Jesus, as it said in verse 11, our great God and Savior. It's the story of our great God and Savior stepping into the world not to crush and condemn, but to save and rescue you and me. It's a beautiful story. And he did it for our benefit, to make us, as the text said, people for his own possession. Christ Jesus, the Savior, he is the one, the grace of God that appeared, that brought salvation to all people. That is the core of the gospel. That is the core of Christmas. He gave himself up, crucified, put to death on a cross to redeem us from all lawlessness, to save us, to make us his beloved children. But we know that we can't get to the reality of being saved without realizing we need to be saved from something. Go back to that example of the person in the burning building. If they didn't hear any alarms, they didn't smell any smoke, they didn't see any flames, why would they see any reason or need to be rescued or to get out of that building? See, when we come to realize that we are sinners and that we are broken by sin, the beautiful clarity of the gospel becomes crystal clear. The love of God becomes crystal clear to us. And then verse 13, staying in this Titus text, verse 13 opens up another reason why we celebrate Christmas, another why of Christmas. Verse 13 says, the blessed hope of the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. In this one verse, we get two important points of the gospel. We get his resurrection and his promised return. Because he can't return and reappear if he's not alive, right? So we get those two beautiful realities in that one verse there. Christ Jesus is alive. He's promised his return, and it's going to be glorious. Every eye will see it. So we take just this Titus text. We have Christ Jesus, the grace of God, bringing salvation to all people, redeeming the lawless, purifying all of that for our benefit, for our gain. Four short verses with the birth, the death, the resurrection, and the promised return of our Lord Jesus. We get the why we celebrate Christmas. And so let's pretend that person is still with you in that aisle and they haven't wandered off because you've got kind of long-winded, and they're still listening to you, and they say, okay, I get it. Now what? Now what do I do? We go to verse 12, the last one we haven't touched here from these four verses. Verse 12 says, say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. In short, live the life that Christ lived. Live the example that he lived when he perfectly fulfilled the requirements of the law for us. He was self-controlled, upright, righteous. In every thought, word, and deed, he provided the perfect example for us. And he calls us to do the same. But he doesn't just say, do it. What did he say before he ascended? I give you a helper. I give you the very Holy Spirit of God to come dwell within you to make this possible. It's the very Holy Spirit. That's what you can share with that person. You could say, yes, he was born, he died, he rose, he's promised to come back. But oh, guess what? There's an added bonus. He's still with you every single day. He's helping you live righteously, live honestly, live lovingly with each other. And he's keeping you clinging to the faith. He's keeping your eyes set on the heavens, waiting in joyful anticipation for the return of Christ Jesus. He dwells with us. Add that bonus into your grocery store explanation to this person. See, God not only stepped into the world to save us, but he is a daily guide, strength, confidence, peace, and joy for us. Praise God that we get to celebrate Christmas every year. Praise God that we get to gather here. Praise God that he has created this community. I am convinced completely no one wandered in here just accidentally. It wasn't a coincidence that you are a part of this church family. It wasn't a coincidence that you call this your church home. God blessed you. God blessed us with this community, and praise God for it. So I hope you get that question someday. Hope someone asks you, why do you celebrate Christmas? And even more, I hope someone says, hey, Christmas is gone and past. It's February. Why are you still so peaceful and joyful? When you get that medical diagnosis, why are you not terrified? When something, you lose a job and something goes wrong, someone says, why are you not just losing your mind over this? And you can share the gospel with them. You can tell them why you have this all the time peace, because your Lord Jesus died, rose, and has promised to be with you forever. I hope you get that question someday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the greatest gift we've ever received, this gift of faith from you on account of nothing we have done. Nothing we have done has merited this, earned this, warranted this. You give it to us, Lord, simply out of your unrivaled and unmatched love. Lord, may we live out this joy and this peace and this grace that we have from you. And may we look for opportunities in which we can share this with other people, because, Lord, you know there are so many people that need to know your Son. Lord, bless us as we enter into this new calendar year. May there be great opportunities at which to witness to our faith in both word and action. We pray this in Jesus' name.